Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. I want to go ahead and take this opportunity to thank each and every one of you all for tuning in this evening to our live broadcast, and we've got a great one planned for you tonight. Most of the evening I'm going to, because it's Valentine's Day, and I want to say happy Valentine's Day to, first I want to just go ahead and wish all of the lovers out there, well, this is actually second on my list, to wish all of the lovers out there, the wannabe lovers, and those who might think that they're in love, either way it goes, I want to wish all of you all a happy, prosperous, healthy, and safe Valentine's Day. I certainly trust that you all have been enjoying the day, and don't just make today Valentine's Day for the love of your life. But, you know, give consideration to letting that person know that they are your Valentine each and every day throughout the year. I think that it will certainly enhance and enrich your relationship. Tonight I'm going to spend a great deal of time presenting to you all because I've prepared some thoughts and some things that I think are important. And, of course, we may take one or two callers. We've elected this evening to bypass a featured guest for the evening. As you know, we've been having featured guests on the air for probably the last six shows that we've had back to back. So I decided this time that we're going to just give it a rest. And I wanted to spend some time talking to you all. So again, we may take one or two callers tonight, but we're going to spend a great deal of time presenting. I want to apologize for what I'm about to say. I've gotten away from doing a lot of the food for thought, and I know that a lot of you all tune in to the show because you want to get some what you consider to be expert advice, but I certainly don't try to come across as the expert because I think that we can learn from each other. We can certainly learn from all parties, and I think it becomes very important that people have a forum that they can use to present some current concerns or issues, especially when it comes to their emotions and the makeup of that. My co-host, Ms. Audrey Blake, she's author of Falling in Love with Me, Mutual Enhancement. Ms. Blake has been on my show for a number of years, and I want to wish her well because she has used it as a springboard, and I've assisted her. I've encouraged her to do her own show, and she has taken heed to that information, and she's been doing her own show. So for those of you all that have asked what happened to Miss Audrey Blake, she has gone on to do some things of her own, and there's nothing like that F-R-E-E-D-O-M, that freedom. There are times when, of course, she and I didn't always see eye to eye, but that had nothing to do with it. I enjoyed having her on the air, and as a matter of fact, she helped to really make this show what it is because of our opposing views, and a lot of times we were on the same page. So just let me let you know, Ms. Blake is welcome back to this show anytime as a featured guest or just simply dropping by to say hello. So she always has that. All right, tonight we're going to be dealing with rekindling the love in your relationship. And this is actually part two. We did part one some time ago. We talked about, is it possible to actually rekindle love? And I want to speak to that just for a second. Is it possible that, and we'll get to the storyline in a few minutes, but is it really possible once someone has said enough is enough after you've gone through a lot of trauma in your relationship, you know, people tend to, they get tired. They get tired of being tired when you're having to repeatedly go over the same issues all the time. I personally don't think that that's a healthy relationship. I think that people, I do believe that sometimes people make emotional decisions that can work against them, and they perhaps jump out of a relationship too fast, especially when they move forward so quickly. And that's the problem that a lot of people have, because when they find out later that when they jump into another relationship, even if it's almost seemingly a trial relationship, it's not until later that they find themselves that they have moved on, not severed ties with their previous love. And this, my friends, can be a rather serious problem, because what it can do is take you into a relationship with a new person whom you are, could be a possibility that you're not even in love with that person. You're still in love with your ex, and that can be very dangerous. And it's also unfair to your new partner, and it's unfair to yourself for you to do that. I have a case in point where I counseled with a lady several years ago, and this is one of my most outstanding cases that I've dealt with. She lost her husband. Her husband passed away, and they were in a they had been married for about 10 years. They had one child together, a son. And what happened was, after he passed away, the husband's best friend befriended the wife even more so. He was there for her. I mean, when he said to her, "If there's anything I can ever do, please don't hesitate to call upon me." And he meant that, you know, with all capital letters of the word literally. He really meant that. And so what happened was, he was there even when she didn't call upon him for any needs. So with him being there every single day, calling upon her, their relationship, their bond got closer. And before you know it, they started dating. And she didn't have time to really even mourn the loss of her husband. So as a result, they started dating. And one thing led to another. And before you know it, they were engaged. And now within 2 years, they were married. Well, as she presented her story to me, then things didn't go quite as well once they got married. After about year three, she still felt that she was not really in love with him. She was more in lust with him. It was a physical thing at the time. And actually what it was doing, she shared with me, it was really confusing her. She was really confused. And after about 4 years of marriage, they started having their problems. 5 years of marriage, it was getting worse. And then by year six, they divorced. Well, when they encountered the divorce, this man was really in love with her. And she felt, one morning she woke up and she told him, "You know, I'm sorry, but I am not in love with you, and I don't think I've ever been in love with you, because you smothered me. You did not give me an opportunity to even mourn the death of my husband," she said. "And it worked. It just, you confused me more than anything." And she says, "I've been wanting to tell you this for more than 4 years. You know, he actually wanted to get violent at that point, because he felt, you know, he thought he was doing the right thing. You know, men, I say this with all due respect, those of you all that are listening, and me included, sometimes we feel that we're the rescuers, that we can save that woman, we can rescue her. When there are times when women are stronger, you know, not necessarily physically, but emotionally and being stable, they're sometimes stronger than men. and they'll be okay. There's an innate nature about them that when it's a woman who, a particular one who has children, when that woman needs to be strong, she will stand on her two feet and she will stand solid. It may, like the Bible says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. That woman may feel it for a moment, and that moment can be subjective. It can be for a period of time, but at some point, that woman's going to regain her composure. She's going to get herself together methodically, you know, strategically, little by little, and that woman's going to be okay. I mean, I have countless stories that were probably fit in a book that, I mean, just, I wouldn't want to bore anybody out there, but countless stories where women are more than survivors. They're champions. And, of course, we have men who are champions as well. They don't all wimp out. They tend to, and science and psychology indicates that sometimes men go through a more traumatic experience than women do when there's a breakup. But, you know, we can certainly all benefit from having the right friends and family members that we communicate with when we're going through our trying or challenging times. All right, you're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. You can certainly listen by internet at drjessewalker.com or drjessewalkerinc.com. Either one of those will get you in to our show. We've got a great one planned for you tonight. I do want to mention some previous shows. We had Dr. Rupert Bushner on for the last 2 weeks as our featured guest. He did an outstanding job. As a matter of fact, I talked to him on a sidebar after the last two shows, and he was telling me how much he appreciated being on the air and the opportunity to present. And he said that after leaving the show, it gave him some provocative that made him go back and do some further research on things. So that's what I mean by we're all learning. We can all learn from each other. And so that's kind of why I got away from giving the food for thought. I didn't want to just make it where it seemed like my opinion was the only expert opinion, because I don't even there are those of you all that view me as the expert when it comes to relationships, but I don't give myself that title under any circumstances. I just think that I'm still learning about relationships, even though I've been doing this now on the air for nearly 7 years, and I'm very thankful for that. I want to take a moment, Charlene. I want to get into tonight's story. And we will, like I said earlier, we will probably entertain one or two callers this evening. You're just joining us. We want to say happy Valentine's Day to all the lovers out there. One of the upcoming shows that we're going to have is we have a young lady that will be coming on the air next week or the following week. And so the young lady that I met recently that had two young daughters. And this young lady, her daughters were so well behaved. And this is a young woman. And I say, I mean, are you the mother of these two young ladies? And she said, yes. I said, well, how do you get them to, in your generation, how do you get them to manage, you know, and be so subtle? And she said, well, you know, it takes a lot of work. And I do a lot of encouraging them. And I do a lot of scenarios with them. And I thought that was just absolutely brilliant. And so she agreed to come on my show and talk about this generation and managing, you know, their offspring. So I thought that was good. Another upcoming show that we have is we're going to do a part three. Many of them are asking, should marriage or dating come with an expiration date? That seems to be a very serious topic that people want to know. Should marriage or dating actually come with an expiration date? And they mentioned that, you know, just like your tags and auto tags and different things come with expiration dates, why can't marriage come with an expiration date? And I say, well, gee, that's interesting. That is just interesting. So, well, there you have that. Let's go to tonight's story. Our characters in tonight's story are Terrence and Ursula. My parents and Ursula actually broke up after 3 years of marriage, but they did not divorce. They basically separated. The couple has no children and have been separated for the past 8 months of their marriage. Throughout the marriage, they have experienced multiple issues from all walks of life, including the thought of cheating on both sides. But so far, neither of them has cheated. There is no doubt they are still in love. After numerous counseling sessions, things have still not worked out. Even listening to family and friends, this seems that it hurt more than helped. Recently, Ursula suggested against her friend and family wishes to pursue him. They didn't want her to pursue him. She actually called him and asked if they could meet and make sense out of what was happening to them during the separation stage and this period of loneliness. Terrence, of course, agreed to meet with her. And as a result, within 6 weeks, the couple had rekindled the love back into their marriage and are back now living together. Since their initial meeting, the couple began to write out their problems. They actually took pad and pencil, and they began to address each one of their problems one by one without the help of any outside parties. Family and friends, they kept family and friends out of their business of marriage. They even included unified methods to counter any challenge that may come up as a result of their differences of opinions or their meetings of the minds. The bottom line is, it worked for them. Now, the question that I start out with tonight, you know, could a couple coming together, could a couple that choose to come together really work out their differences without outside influences? You know, let's find out what my thinking is. And, of course, if you'd like to comment, we will, like I said, we will take one or two callers. You know, outside influences. You know, it's important. I think that there are times when you should not, allow outside influences to come into your marriage, especially when people are going against your significant other. If he or she, I mean, this is my take, and I certainly welcome you all thoughts on it. If your spouse or your significant other is not mentally or physically abusive, I think that people need to stay out of your business. They need to stay out of your business. Now, if there is mental abuse or physical abuse going on, I'm the first person to tell you don't tolerate that foolishness. There is no way you should tolerate that foolishness. And physical abuse speaks for itself. Mental abuse can be equally damaging. And that's the abuse where you're being called names, you're constantly being put down, you're humiliated, whether in private or public. I mean, these are things that, you know, not you should have to cope with or deal with. If your significant other is not uplifting, if they're not enriching your life, then they're taken away from your life. They really are. And you're perhaps looking at settling, you know, and you're more than that. You're better than that. You're champions. You know, you are. You're champions. And one of the ways that I've counseled with numerous people on is you ask yourself the question, if you feel like you're being mentally abused, based on what your experience is in your relationship, ask yourself the question, would you want your son or daughter to go through what you're going through in your relationship? And oftentimes, if they answer the question, they answer that, their response to that, excuse me, if it's no, then that's a decision that you two should make. And they answer that and you say no, then I think that you're doing the right thing. I really do. That's how I see it. So the next time that you're going through something, I want you to think about that. The next time that you find yourself allowing someone to put you down, ask yourself that question. Would I want my son or my daughter to be constantly humiliated or put down just as this person has been putting me down? And if you answer no, then you need to check yourself or recheck yourself in terms of, is that the relationship for you? Because I just don't think that anybody can be happy, humiliated for years in a relationship. There's nothing good that comes out of that, in my opinion. Now, in the case with Terrence and Ursula, I am very, very pleased and impressed with their relationship. Because I'll tell you why. Ursula didn't wait. As a matter of fact, she separated herself from her family and friends when it came to knowing her love for her husband, the man that she loved. And against their wishes, she went in and she decided, you know what, they don't want me to call him or pursue him, but I'm going to do this. And as a result, it worked for them. And I thought that what was so brilliant about this was the methods, the strategy, that it didn't matter which one it came from. Just in this case, the story implies or infers that it came from Ursula. She wrote out what their problems were, but she didn't write them out alone. This was a unification. They wrote them together, and they addressed these problems, one by one. And then they went after a plan of attack. And I think that's the best thing. That sounds like better than any counseling, because they had had a number of counseling sessions. They had a number of counseling sessions, and they found that those sessions weren't working. And I think that's what happens. We had a show on, does premarital counseling work? Does counseling work, for that matter? You know what? It depends. It can work or not necessarily work. It depends. It depends on whether the individual getting counseling is not only listening, but, you know, their thoughts of what the counselor may be assisting them in bringing out their issues or concerns. If they're finding a methodology to work on their issues, you know, and it starts with their individual issues. Because you can't, I don't care who you are, you cannot fix or change another human being. Even your children are only with you for a season under your jurisdiction. Excuse me, and it may have some cultural biases with that or influences with that. But basically, your children, when they reach age of maturity, whatever that might be deemed as, they're going to pretty much go in the direction that hopefully is best suitable for them, not necessarily for you. Story is told about a man who put a football in his son's hand at the age of 5. The man put the football in his son's hand because the man's dream was perhaps to one day play in the National Football League as a professional football player. He played quarterback partially in high school and then in little leagues, well, actually adult leagues throughout the city. And when his son came along and he turned 5, he put a football in his hand and he trained his son for 12 years to be able to throw like a professional quarterback in the NFL. And this young man became so good that the father now couldn't even play catch with him and train him anymore. And that's when it was time to take him on to the next coaching level. Well, sure enough, this man thought that his son, once he goes off to college, the college of the young man's choice, which in this case was Florida State, after going through a college that the parents selected for the first year to get his car, the young man did go to the college at the parents' choice for his first year, and he got his, in his sophomore year, beginning of his sophomore year, he got his car. Then he switched and went over to the college of his dreams, which was Florida State. And that's what the father knew all along. And so the father kept asking him, and actually kind of, you know, became a nuisance with it. When are you going out for the football team? And the young man would tell his father from time to time, I'm going to go check it out soon, Dad. Well, football season's coming up, son. You need to, you know, don't you think you need to make your presence known and, you know, go out there and meet the coach? And, okay, Dad, I'm going to do that. And as time drew closer and closer to football season, the young man, he actually, as time drew near, the young man, the father, you know, kept getting on his son's nerves by repeatedly asking him until the son now apparently had had some conversations with perhaps other family members on how to tell his dad the truth. And one day when the father asked him, he finally did come out with his truth and told him. He said, Dad, I'm not going to play football. And the dad was shocked and amazed. What was that, son? He says, I'm not going to play football. I don't want to play football. I said, but you're an excellent quarterback. You know, the father told him, you're an excellent quarterback. And he says, yeah, but Dad, that was never my dream to play football. That was your dream. And you want, and I realized that you wanted me to live my dream. You wanted me to live my dream through you, through me. I'm getting a mix up here now. But in other words, I think you know what I'm trying to say. The son presented it back to his father that that was the father's dream, that he didn't live himself, and he was trying to live his dream now through his son. And that was a problem for the son. And the son went on to become successful without playing football, and he never once looked back at regretting playing football, even though the father felt this young man could have gotten a signing bonus, you know, a major signing bonus in the NFL. But he it didn't matter to the young man. That was not what he wanted. So I say that to say this. There are times, perhaps, when it comes to our relationships, just as with Terrence and Ursula, they decided, you know what? Go on and make decisions without the help of a counselor. Let me go on and make decisions without the help of anyone. Let me do what I need to do. And that's what they decided to do. And they wrote out stuff for themselves. And it worked out for them. And I think that I would say to any couple, if you're having problems and you still have the love, even though it may be a separation state that you're in or some tension going on, I say, you know what? Decide on whether or not you really want the relationship. If it's the best, if it's really what you want, not trying to force the other person into wanting the relationship, because you may want it and they may not want it, you know? And, you know, it takes two to tangle. You've heard that expression. It takes two to tangle. And so what you want to do is, if you're trying to force somebody or put words or things or thoughts into their mind to try to make it work, you got a major job ahead of you. Because if you get married to that person, you're going to have to spend the rest of that marriage trying to convince them that that's what they need to be doing. And you take away their freedom when you do that. You take away their free will. And that person, probably you would have been better off with somebody else. You need to think on those, perhaps. So just like the man and his son, you know, when he came to realizing that his son had his own mind, he could do nothing but respect that young man, play football. So just with Ursula and Terrence, I think that any couple that's going through anything, write down your thoughts. Write them down. Write them down and do your best at trying to actually cope with this, handle it, but handle it on your own. And I oftentimes say this, especially when it comes to marriage, because marriage is holy matrimony. You know, that's of God. The institution of marriage is of God. Not necessarily every marriage is of God. But let me tell you something. When you're married, you got to go overboard to try to make that work. But it still takes two to tangle. And I'll tell you something else. If he or she, your significant other in that marriage, don't really want to be there, and you're convinced in your heart of hearts of that, then you know what? I've been trying for 2 years, and this person, they're not reciprocating. They're not even reaching out, because it's going to take 100% efforts on both parts, not 50-50, 100% efforts on both parts. And if your significant other isn't meeting you at 100%, you know what? You might be better off letting that relationship go. You might be better off letting, in fact, you probably, chances are you are better off letting that relationship go. Because there's no way you want to tangle by yourself, because you can tangle by yourself in a sense of you can do bad all by yourself, like the movie says, or you can do even better by yourself until you meet someone else. We're going to entertain some of the comments that have come into the studio. We're talking tonight about rekindling the love in your relationship, and this is actually part two. Since I have gotten away from a lot of the food for thought that I used to present in every show, I decided tonight to do more of the talking, which kind of centers around the food for thought, not trying to just be the one expert, but we may take one or two of the callers if you want to chime in, and otherwise we will speak to just basically the topic tonight. And since it's Valentine's Day, I think every day can be Valentine's Day. We may not call it that, but you shouldn't just wait for a certain time to give your significant other flowers or gifts or to just simply say, I love you. I think that that should be something that you do on a regular routine basis, you know, just because. And it doesn't have to have a reason associated with because. And if you can't find the because or the why, then it should clearly be because you love them. That's the love of your life. And you want to be happy with them. You want them to see that, you know, this is who I want to be with. So love is in the air, and you can make it everywhere because that's what true love really is. You know, and there are times when people have different views, differences of opinions, and doesn't mean that you're going to go run off to somebody else. That brings, in my opinion here, more problems than solutions. And if you didn't catch the top of the hour, you may want to go into the archives and listen to that about what I said about moving too fast in your relationship after to move on too fast. So we will entertain. We'll go to the phone lines now, and tonight we're talking about rekindling the love in your relationship, Ursula and Terrence. And one question I want to pose out there to this first call that we're going to take, and that question is the fact that Ursula and Terrence wrote down their own problems and found solutions to them. Could that possibly work for somebody else, another couple, perhaps? Well, let's go to 954-216. Who do we have on the air?
Hi, Dr. Walker. This is Rose.
Rose, thank you for joining us this evening. Rose, in response to the question that I just asked, with what Terrence and Ursula did, writing down their problems and addressing them one by one, think that that could be a viable solution to other couples out there, or, you know, maybe not?
I certainly think it can be of use to other couples, as long as they both have an interest in keeping the marriage, keeping the relationship. And I think that's a really good thing that the couples did, Ursula and Terrence. I understand that they went through counseling, but apparently it was not working for them. I think counseling is very good, but of course, you know, there are times that it might not work for that particular couple for whatever reason. So I think, and then again, maybe it did work. Maybe that is the reason why they actually took the time to sit down and go through the issues that they're having, writing them down, and then figuring out what they need to do in order to solve the issues that they're having. So maybe had it not been for counseling, they would not have stayed together long enough to make this decision. So I withdraw that. I'm not going to say the counseling did not work for them. I think it had its place. Something kept them together long enough to sit down and work out their issues. And I think that could work for just about any couple, any couples out there that might be going through issues that they just can't seem to solve, and they have tried, you know, so many things, and it's just not working. And they both still have the love for each other and also have that desire to save their relationship, then yes, I always think that if you both sit down, identify the issues and be totally honest, because if you're not honest, then, you know, it's not going to be effective. But if both parties are totally honest with themselves and with each other, no matter how hurtful it might be, because it might be hurtful to hear what the other party does not like about you or about the things that you might be doing to cause them to be a bit turned off. But if both parties are open to going through the pain and then the healing, then I think it's a brilliant idea for couples to sit down, write it, not just say, because sometimes talking, you tend to forget. You know, by the time you're finished talking, you forget the beginning or what you discussed initially or the list that you presented to each other. But I think it's a really good idea to list them, write them down so that you both can actually see them. It's something you see it on paper, you know, and if somehow something slipped your mind, you can always go back to that document and read it again. So listing the issues and then both parties coming up with ways to solve these issues that is fair to both. And sometimes you might have to give a little in one area and get some more in the other area. So sometimes it depends on the weight for each person. How do you weigh this? You know, is this extremely important to you, or is this something you can negotiate on? So I just think it's a good thing that they did, and other couples can definitely learn from that.
Well, Rose, we certainly do appreciate your perspective on that, and I'm glad that you took the opportunity to revisit something where you talked about counseling. You didn't discount counseling, and I think that that's a good thing, because I agree with you. Chances are going to the numerous sessions of counseling, which they did, the couple did attend, chances are you're right. There's something in those sessions that contributed to the thought of them working this out, because the counselor may have even suggested, have you all ever written out your challenges and addressed them one by one? So you're right, Rose. You know, I think that counseling is a good thing. I think it's a starting point to trying to find a remedy for your marital or relationship woes. Now, it may be that, or even your individual woes that you may have, if your significant other does not want to go to counseling, and you're finding that you're having a challenge in trying to cope with what's going on, with the loneliness or the separation, then I think counseling can help you. Of course, there are some times when you may have a good girlfriend or a guy friend. And my recommendation, you know, we go back to the early stages of girls play with girls and boys play with boys. I think that if you are seriously in love with your significant other, excuse me, and you want to respect the entity of that relationship, and you want to be loyal to yourself and your significant other in the event that you get back together, so you don't have to have that notion or that thought that will contribute to your relationship, that if you've gone out there and you've been unfaithful, you know, until you know that it's over, self. I think that that becomes so important, because somewhere along the way, Ursula and Terrence, or one of them, could possibly bring it up that, you know, during our separation, were you faithful? And when you present the truth, you know, and if you start out lying and you're trying to rekindle your relationship, it's going to only go downhill from the, it could go downhill, you know, because if the love was there and you're trying, you know, they're always extenuating circumstances. But I think that's the worst thing. I mean, this is just my humble opinion here, and I haven't done this in so long that many of you all have asked for it, and I'm trying to present. This is my humble opinion to say that I think that that's one of the worst things that you can do, is when you have not severed your relationship, to know that it's over, and there's no possibility of return, and you go out and you, by whatever means, you end up doing something that you could possibly regret, because that question can come up, were you faithful? And you have to put yourself in a predicament to lie, you know, it's not going to be a good feeling. And that person, you never know what goes on through their head. And if you lie, somewhere along the way, the truth will come out. And if you lie, you know, you never know what's going on in their head. Wow. You know, she couldn't even wait, or he couldn't even wait. Wow, I wonder who they were with. And why did they do that? Why would they violate me like that? I mean, all sorts of things go through a person's head. So these are things that you really have to take stock of, you know, when you're going to go out there, because trying to rekindle it, and it's a lie, that can do more harm than good. Let's take some of the, wow, we only got about 17 minutes before we bring the show to a close tonight. Let's take some of the comments that have come in relative to tonight's broadcast. Rekindling the love in your relationship. This male writes in and says, thank you, Dr. Walker, for getting back to a portion of your food for thought. We really appreciate hearing this. I think once the love is gone, it's gone, and there is only tension in trying to bring it back. Well, you know, I can certainly relate to what this individual is saying. Once it's gone, it's gone, and it brings tension when you're trying to bring it back. And I do believe that. That's why I talked about, and I don't think that that's absolute, because I think that some love that seemingly is lost could be suppressed, and then all it takes is acts of kindness, kind deeds, kind words, something changed behaviors, evidence of those changed behaviors, that's to say, that can help to rekindle. It's like a flower. If you don't water that flower, if you don't nurture that flower, if you don't cultivate it, then that flower, good chance, is going to die out. So relationships are no different. They need to be cultivated. They need to be watered. They need to be nurtured with words of kindness, you know, deeds of kindness, you know, just acts of kindness. And just, you know, not being abusive mentally or physically, never in those areas. And even when you have your differences, you clearly need to find a way. If you're still in love with each other, you need to find a way to work it out. So once the love is gone, it's gone. It's just tension and trying to bring it back. Yes, that could be. but it doesn't have to be for everyone. If you still truly love the person, if it's not one of those relationships that you tear them down. All right, let's move on to the next one. This male writes in, he says, in reference to tonight's topic, I think people jump out of relationships because of some emotionally uproaring, only to realize later that they wished that they had stayed with the person before anybody moved on. I think that that's important. I think that people sometimes jump too quickly, and then they do wake up, just as I presented in tonight's story that I told you about, a couple that I counseled. After 6 years after losing her husband, the woman told the guy, who happened to be her husband's best friend, I just don't love you, and I never did. And they divorced, and he became physically violent because he felt he had invested all of that time trying to make her comfortable. And he did everything he could, but he smothered her, and she didn't have time to even mourn the loss of her husband. And she shared with him, I'm still in love with my deceased husband because you didn't allow me to heal or to mourn from that loss. So I do agree with this, the comment that has come into the studio. I do agree that I think that people jump too quickly in relationships. So let's take the next one. We're down to 13 minutes. All right, we're down to 13 minutes. And this comment comes in, this female writes in, she says, every Valentine's Day, like today, it brings me back to the only man I ever loved. I broke up with him because I made an emotional decision after listening to my best friend. That was a big mistake because that same friend encouraged me to not call him and wait for him to call me, just like in your story tonight. But she says, unlike Ursula didn't listen to anybody. She called Terrence. She says, it's been over 2 years, and now the only man that I ever loved has since married and never called. I haven't spoken to that girl who was once my best friend since I found out that he got married. She says, finally, be careful who you listen to when it comes to your love, especially if it's based on emotions. You know, I think that that's some sound advice, and I would certainly tell people, you know, I don't know whether to say follow your heart or not. I don't know if I believe that so much. But I do want to just say that be careful making emotional decisions too quickly, because it can come back to haunt you. And instead, when you feel you need some space or time, watch your words too, and just say, you know what, this isn't working well. Let me just perhaps get off the phone, or let's just end this conversation for tonight and go in our mutual corners and come back when we can probably think a lot clearer, because this isn't working out right now. So I think that becomes very important. So I tend to agree, don't move on too quickly. Don't move on too quickly, whatever you do. And be careful who you listen to when it comes to your love, especially if it's based on emotions. All right, this... we'll take two more. We're down to 10 minutes now. This female writes in, she says, I think when it comes, but let me back up just for a second. Rose, we're going to go back to you on the phone lines again and ask you the question, your thoughts. This young lady, the comment we read earlier, she said, every Valentine's Day today, it brings back to me the only man I ever really loved. I broke up with him because I made an emotional decision after listening to my best friend. That was a big mistake because, unlike Ursula went after listening to anybody, because that same friend now encouraged me to not call him and wait for him to call me. Ursula called her man. It's been over 2 years, and he has since married, and he never called. I haven't spoken to the girl who was once my best friend since I found out that he was married. Be careful who you listen to, she says, especially when it comes to your emotions, when it's based on your emotions. Rose, is that sound advice?
Well, I would agree, yes. Be careful who you listen to. That's totally correct in my opinion. However, if this young lady needs to move on, seems like she is stuck in an area that she don't need to be stuck in. This man has since been married and is going on with his life. Okay, yes, she might have made a bad decision by listening to a friend, but what she needs to do now is just learn from it and move on with her life. She cannot keep holding on to this, any kind of anger for her friend, because, I mean, when it comes down to it, she's the one that made the decision. Her friend might have told her that this is what she should do, but she needs to probably blame herself also for listening. So she should not be keeping malice with her friend for that reason, in my opinion. And it's been 2 years. Come on now. You cannot get stuck in one area like this for 2 years. It means that something is wrong with you. So you need to move on. Maybe she needed to get counseling for this so that she can move on with her life. You cannot stay stuck. It's not worth it.
Well, Rose, I agree with you. It's not worth it. You can't get stuck. You know, if you're not careful, you certainly can get stuck. We'll take our final comment for the evening. We're going to go to, let's take that final comment. Oh, well, we'll take two more. They're telling me we can take two more. This female writes in, she says, I think when it comes to love, you should think for yourself and learn what is best for you, especially if you are of age. Don't ever settle because you will live to regret it. Once again, I think that's worth repeating. She says, I think when it comes to love, you should think for yourself and learn what is best for you, especially if you're of age. Don't ever settle because you will live to regret it. I think I think that's important. I mean, who wants to settle? Again, like at the top of the hour, I asked the question, would you want your son or daughter to go through some of this stuff? Would you really want them to experience this, what you're experiencing in terms of dealing with this, something like this, you know, going through that? And I say the answer is no. It's no. Don't let them go through anything like that. And then the question becomes even better. Then if you don't want them to go through that, why would you go through it? Why would you go through it? It doesn't necessarily get better. You just have a tendency to hiding behind the real problems. That's what you're doing. You're going to hide behind the real problems. And then you realize that one day the veil will be taken from your eyes. And then you'll realize that, you know what, it wasn't worth it. It wasn't worth it. So that's where we are in this one. Let's take the final comment as we're approaching the end of the show. And that comment comes from a female. She says, in reference to tonight's show, rekindling the love in your relationship, that is, part two. I think if you are not careful, we listen to our parents, and they get it wrong sometimes. I wouldn't say not to listen to your parents. I would just say, be respectful and think for yourself. Rose, is that important to you to not? She says, I wouldn't say not to listen to your parents. But she says, it almost seems like she says, you know, analyze the information that your parents may be giving you yourself. Is that that important? And if so, why?
Well, I mean, there's a time when you do have to listen to your parents as you grow up. And as a child growing up, you know, your parents are there to guide you and to train you. And so, therefore, yes, you do have to listen to your parents at that time. But when you become of age, an adult, and you have to make decisions for yourself, your parents might still be there, and you can go to them for advice, but ultimately you have to make the decision for yourself. Your parents can't actually tell you at that time what you should do or what you have to do. They can guide you, they can counsel you, but then with all the counseling you get, then you analyze and you make the final decision what you think is best for you. That's how I look at it.
Yes, I certainly agree with you, Rose. And on that note, let me give some final closing thoughts. Tonight we talked about rekindling the love in your relationship, part two. I just want to say that love is what makes the world go round. Perhaps if we put a little bit more love into our daily lives, in the way that we talk to people, in the way that we talk to each other, the way that we talk to our significant others, the way that we talk to our children, the way that our children talk to us. If we put a little bit more love in it, you know, we even consider it the love we have this big bank or this big box or this big treasure chest. Let's just say in there goes love deposits. And so for every kind word, there may be a love deposit that goes into that bank or that box. And this is figuratively speaking, and it's not literally speaking, meaning a bank that you store things. But sometimes the connotation associated with banking brings about thoughts of prosperity or increase or decrease. But when we're talking here deposits, you want to be able to put in for growth. And that's what the connotation, the analogy that I want to present this evening. So when you're making these deposits, you know, kind words, did you tell your significant other that you love them today? Did you apologize for offending them today? Did you genuinely make up for that? Did you apologize to your child whom you may have yelled at because you were running a few minutes late and you took it out on him or her? It's just not warranted. Did you apologize to them? Did you tell them how much you loved them? And then for the older kids that are of age, do they tell you that they love you? Do they give you a kiss every day? You know, do they invite you with an embrace as you see them every day when you may pick them up from school or they come home? Are you encouraging them? Are you talking to them? Are you talking at them? Are you talking down to them? What kind of deposits are you making into someone else's life? And that's going to be a future show that we're going to make. What kind of deposits are you making, you know, in someone else's life? Are you making good deposits or bad deposits? Are you helping with the village, or are you just concerned about you and your own family? Well, guess what? It takes a village to raise a family. And, you know, when you think that you're just going to do you and yours, let me tell you, you may not always be around. You may not always be around. Young lady just passed away last Thursday from an aneurysm, 36, 10-year-old, and a 16-year-old. So let me tell you, it's going to take all of us, to engage ourselves. And you might let somebody else into your life, and you may want to be a part of somebody else's life. On that note, we are clearly out of time. You know, I want to thank Rose, who the only one that we spoke to tonight, and for those of you all, and thank you for respecting our wishes that we would not take that many calls tonight. but that I wanted to get back to some of the food for thought. So thank you all for respecting that. Thank you and continuing to listen to this broadcast weekly and sharing us on Facebook with your friends and other social media. Join us this Friday, of course, for your Half Hour Inspirational Program. Of course, you choose to bypass this Friday. Join us back here again live next Tuesday for the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Until this Friday or until next Tuesday, I say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. So, yeah.